symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
How's it going, Ad Free Shows family? John Alba here with Real Double J, Jeff Jarrett. It is part two of our conversation about Memphis and Tennessee wrestling, a follow-up to the conversations with Conrad with Jerry Jarrett that you can find right here on adfreeshows.com in our archives. In part one, we talked about the modern legacy left behind by Memphis, and in part two, we're going to talk about some of the stars of Memphis because, Jeff, as I listen to this conversation with your father, it's just a who's who of all these people that have come through this territory, and it's maybe not necessarily people that you think of. Now, some of the names that he mentioned as influential were obviously Lou Thesz, who everyone takes influence from, Jackie Fargo, someone that you have an obvious connection to, Al Green, Jerry Lawler, but who to this day do you believe was the most important star to come through Memphis and Tennessee?
Well, I mean, that's the most important star. To the territory, that's a low-hanging fruit question. The King, Jerry Lawler, he was obviously local in Memphis, and people knew that. But just so incredibly talented that in so many different ways, you know, and I don't want to get into the split between my father and Nick Gulas, because Jackie Fargo and Tojo Yamamoto were his legendary stars. And I mean, a who's who, Harley Race and Harley's brother. And I mean, Lou Thesz and all those names, but you know, Bobby Eaton was a Nick Gulas guy who ended up working for my father. John, literally, we don't have enough time today to talk about the people that came through there. But when you sort of roll along and really think about, again, like on our last session, I talked about the opportunity, and there were so many opportunities given. And look, in so many different ways, Tennessee or Memphis or Channel 5, if you want to get right down to it, yes, it wasn't the end-all be-all, but the opportunity giving to talent after talent. And Jerry Lawler, you know, him being a heel, and I know he's a funny color commentator, but him being a serious, if you will, heel and making those promos week after week, and how he built the territory. And in those days, I don't even know if you know this, but there was a Jerry Lawler show, wrestling show on Saturday. On Sunday morning, there was the King Jerry Lawler show. So for him to have his own half hour or hour show through the years was showed this drawing power. So Lawler, you know, I'll say took the baton from babyface Jerry Jarrett and others, but the territory was built around him. The King, it was his throne for so many years. And then, you know, obviously went on, and he's the voice. You know, I think you can't really think in this day and age without Jim Ross, where would Jerry Lawler be? And without Jim Lawler, Jim Ross, they're both phenomenal in their own rights. But the magic that they created together in the Attitude Era, and everybody knows what the Attitude Era means to the industry. So Jerry Lawler is very, very important. But when you think of the different stars that came through and really learned, and look, there's other territories, and obviously I'm biased, but the opportunity given to talent to walk out on a Saturday morning and sell tickets, and that's what it drilled down to. You weren't cutting a promo and storyline and this. You weren't worried about next Saturday on TV. The thing you were worried about is I'm going to sell tickets for the live event this week. That's a different mentality. And so when you think about Stone Cold Steve Austin coming from Texas and coming up to Tennessee and him having that format, you have to put Steve up It's huge. And then a guy by the name whose father wrestled in this territory first. You may know him, John. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of him. He goes by the, you know, he's got a nickname, but we won't go there, but Dwayne Johnson. But, you know, when you put that in context, that the Rock went out and gave Saturday morning promos and just think, you know, that's his first time to ever be on live. So having that ability to go on there live and sell tickets, not just make a promo, go sell tickets, it is it really is the true education of this industry. That, look, we always never stop learning, but jumping off into the deep end on Saturday mornings to sell tickets, that's big.
Yeah, and Jerry Lawler had that whole Andy Kaufman thing, which I think ended up working out okay for the territory at the end of the day. And think how influential that was in terms of celebrity involvement in pro wrestling, too, and just took it to a whole nother level. But I love that you started rattling off some names like Dwayne Johnson and Steve Austin. And you don't traditionally associate guys like them with Memphis off the bat, right? Like, those are not guys. Cactus Jack. Jim Neidhart, so many people came through this. Who is one underrated name that came through Memphis that people don't traditionally associate with the territory?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I wish I had a little more time to think down through it. But, you know, I don't think anybody really thinks of Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. He started. You know, I'm trying to think more of the modern era of folks that came in and – you know, whether they spent 3 months, 6 months, or however long. But, I mean, there are so many names. But, you know, like Paul Ellering.
Sure.
He came through. Jesse the Body Ventura. No, he didn't start here. But, I mean, there's some names that you go, wow, they came through Memphis. You know, and I don't think anybody really associates Hulk Hogan. And I'm talking about to the mass public. And that story is covered on the conversations that, you know, Grams and the folk, you know, how Hulk got here and came here, and my grandfather gave him a cosign for a car, a used car, just those kind of stories. But to really, boy, I don't know one that is a unique name. Let's keep rolling, and may pop in my brain.
So how about this, and kind of feeding off of that, if you were to say to all of our Ad-Free Shows family, hey, there's one person that had a really underrated run in Memphis that you should go out of your way to check out, is there anyone that comes to mind?
Underrated run?
Yeah, like someone who just went through Memphis and, like, we're not talking about their run enough.
In Memphis, the run you're talking
about?
Yeah. You know, I hate to go back and talk about my world. Stone Cold came into the territory and, you know, my father put him with Tom Pritchard, who's another Ad-Free family member, but they teamed up. They really had, the territory was on its ass. Nobody was making any money. But the content they produced as antagonist, if you will, to get it into storyline and script writing and television production, great antagonists. They were a good team. Tom was obviously the leader at their stage in their career. They were, you know, two Texas guys that knew how to go out, get heat, get the babyface over. Man, this is fun to reminisce, but I wish I could come up with a.
That's okay. This is me being selfish, Jeff, because I need some suggestions for some YouTube material to go take a deep dive on. So again, this is me just picking your brain. I have the opportunity to do that now as a host here on Ad Free Shows. I'm going to take advantage of that.
Well, and here's a unique thing. If you look at the Bill Watts, that territory in 83, 84, 85, but right before Bill Dundee, Terry Taylor, oh my gosh, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, Jim Cornette, all of that talent was in Tennessee at the same time that Lawler and, I mean, there's a whole, that's sort of how it came out, that Watts is, business was going down a little bit, and he always used some bigger guys. And Watts and my father had a conversation, and before you know it, there's like 10 new talent going down there that were a different style. You look at their stuff in Tennessee, early Rock and Roll Express when they were first put together, Ricky and Robert, just incredible team. Jim Cornette and his crew in Tennessee. Now, of course, lots of folks know about his Watts days right before, but the Tennessee stuff that Cornette and Midnight and Coco and Norvell, the pretty young things. I mean, John, if you want some good stuff, dive into that 82-83 Memphis.
I really appreciate that. I'm going to take you up on that. And I got one more as we wrap up our sidebar conversation to Memphis here. Again, I can't encourage people enough. Check out the Conversations with Conrad with Jerry Jarrett, part one, part two coming out shortly. So when you consider some of the most influential people for today's era of wrestling, like you mentioned Hogan having been in Tennessee, Ric Flair obviously went through Tennessee, The Rock went through Tennessee, Memphis's spirit very much lives on in today's industry. Are there any talent in today's wrestling climate that you feel embody what Tennessee wrestling was all about in its heyday?
Oh, boy. You know, and we haven't even touched on this, but in my opinion, I have a lot of favorites. Obviously, Jackie Fargo, Jerry Lawler as a kid. I could go on and on, but when I look back over my entire career, there's one guy that I think is the single greatest heel that the business has ever produced, and this may catch you off guard. That's a guy by the name of Mr. McMahon. Vince was the first time he was ever a heel on television in Memphis. And when you go back and look at that and go, wow, this is really interesting. Lawler and my father and Vince, and they shot that angle. And then I just think, you know, Stone Cold was red hot, great talent, but without Mr. McMahon, where would Stone Cold? That feud, it epitomized what the Attitude Era was about. So I got off on a little tangent there, but today's talent, oh man, I could go on and on. When you look at a guy like, the simple thing is Roman, just because of how he has evolved, and you have Paul Heyman, and I'm not saying Roman without Paul or Paul without Roman. It's a real unique thing. But a week in, week out, a guy like Sami Zayn, and everybody knows I'm a Sami Zayn fan, he can be a heel, he can be a babyface, he can be a manager, he can do a little bit of everything very, very well. He would have tremendous success, not just in Memphis, but any territory he went in. Sami knows the industry. He knows how to irritate the dog shit out of somebody, but he also knows how to endear himself. Braun Strowman is another guy that his athletic ability, he can cut a promo, but he would be someone in a weekly territory when you saw him walk through the curtain because his size is so striking, and then he follows it up with talking, and then he gets in the ring and knows how to sell. There's a lot of longevity in that as well. John, you really – when I look at today's roster, look at – and I always want to call him Daniel Bryan, but Bryan Danielson, in the territory days, John, I cannot tell you, he's a guy that you could say, hey, Bryan, here's what we're going to do. We were going to do this, this, and this, and by 3 months out, we're going to have a blow-off, hair versus hair, and you're winning, whatever it may be. He would go off, and I guarantee you he'd come back with 12 works of episodic television, and he could do it. Whether he was a heel, whether he's a babyface, look, he would weave it in and out of tags, six man. That's what we had to do. So it wouldn't be weekend. And again, John, I'm going to ramble, but I love talking that kind of stuff because at the very core of our industry is the weekly episodic of selling tickets.
Yeah. And as we talked about in part one, that's kind of what Memphis and Tennessee wrestling laid the groundwork for. So if you haven't checked out our first conversation, go check that out on Ad Free Shows. And if you haven't watched the Conversations with Conrad with Jerry Jarrett, I cannot stress it enough. This is one of my favorite things that we've ever put out on adfreeshows.com. Part two coming as well. I really enjoyed getting to chat Memphis with you, Jeff. I can tell you this, one of the guys that I manage on the independent scene in my stable, his guy is Jeff Jarrett because he watched Memphis Wrestling on YouTube and fell in love with your stuff. So the influence transcends multiple generations, and I'm so glad that we got to talk about it. I really appreciate your time on this, Jeff, and hopefully we get to do it again sometime because there's so
much to cover. Love to, man. We'll go around the horn. So, yeah, appreciate your time. And you know, if you hadn't checked out part one of the conversation, again, I'm biased. I'm his son, but a lot of history. Lots of history. I believe, and I may be off, and so if I am off, a little wrong, but the last of the owners of the 22 territories, I believe, is my father. So if you want to dive into history of professional wrestling, give it a listen.
He's the last man standing, and he's down to converse with Conrad. Check it out, adfreeshows.com. We appreciate all you guys. We'll see you next time here on Ad Free Shows.